The conditions these times of year can be so precarious. Amen, amen. But he knows how to help us, and he will help us. I'm going to believe that. And he honors faith, too. You know, he saw you here tonight. He saw you coming, and, you know, I believe he's going to get you all home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we could join, oh God, each other in worship and praise here tonight, Lord. Oh God, we know that we're very few in number, but oh Lord, you are with us. You are among your people, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that your praises would go out, oh Lord, and that you'd accept them, Lord. And oh God, that you give us a joy and a heart of praise to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh God, for we are the sheep of thy pasture, and oh Lord, we need you above all else, Lord. Pray that you be here, that you minister to us, and that you help us, Lord, in every way, Lord. Oh God, I just pray, oh God, that you help us all to get home safely, Lord. Oh God, that you make our path clear and simple, Lord. Oh God, we just give it all to you, Lord Jesus, and we ask, oh Lord, that you would meet the needs of each individual, Lord, all our dear friends online too, Lord, that, oh God, that you would reach out and touch them, and, oh Lord, that thy presence be felt, oh God, for we do seek thee, Lord, and God, I pray that, oh Lord, you would also help our sister Vicky, Lord, who's lost her husband. I pray, oh God, that, oh God, your presence would be there with her, and oh Lord, that, oh God, you would comfort her in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. Give her the wisdom that she needs and the directives, Lord. Oh God, we just give it all to you in Jesus' name and ask you to help us now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to lead a few songs from the piano. So if you can help me sing, I'd like that. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to bless us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. 115 there in the Corinth book. Thank you. Oh my, a couple of Skype sessions ago, I guess. My brother Tom and Sister Sharon and Sister Pauline in Singapore, and I was just having this thing, this sinus thing that kind of flared up, and I could feel this pressure all on my eye. Just, oh boy, pretty much the whole session. But I'll tell you what, we thought we were all going to say goodnight, and you know, it was just amazing. Instead of saying goodnight, we just began to worship the Lord. I don't know how long we worshiped. I don't know. It was less than at least a half hour. Maybe it was, you know, close to an hour. I'm not sure. But anyway, I know one thing. After long, you're done worshiping, that pressure was gone. There, it was just completely gone. And, you know, it's so true. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and he lives in those praises. And we can just let go, let the reserves go, and let the Lord come through so that, you know, we can worship him in fear and in truth. No, there's just no telling what he will do. It will just lean down. It will just, you know, lean on him and let him work in us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. There's maybe one more chorus here. 88 on the next page. You know, a couple, and I, you know, do the choruses or verses, but let's just do the chorus right now. And just let the Lord work on us. You know, lift that cup up to him. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Should I pass the offering?
Yes.
Praise our God. Oh my. You know, oh, I better put this on, I guess. Where it is. Okay, praise God. Oh, our God is good. And you know, just we talked about worshiping and praising Him. The thing is, God responds, you know, to those praises. It's a beautiful thing because He could do anything at such moments. But, you know, the great thing is that we can feel His presence. He just comes down. You know, there's just nothing like that. It just, so many times I know, wow, it's been a heavy day or whatever. And, you know, you just get into the worshiping and praising the Lord. And all at once, things begin to change as you lift up the Lord. And it's a wonderful privilege that we have, a wonderful privilege and blessing that we have. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to pray again here as we go into this study here tonight with the Lord's help. And oh, praise the Lord. We're missing Sam, all right, and Leah. And Anna's had a condition with her foot and hasn't been able to wear a shoe. And oh, it's just been this and that. And I'll tell you what, I was over here, well, from quite early today, before 8 o'clock until quite late this afternoon, because I had to have a new furnace put in over at Faith House, and they didn't get there exactly early, and then it almost finished, they thought, and realized they had put it in the wrong furnace, and so it was going to be another 2 hours. Oh, it's been something. I know, with all the goings on at the processing center and all, but we turn to the Lord and we know that He helps us. And oh, if we're going to believe that He's going to help us here tonight, amen. I just think, you know, Sam, just, oh, it's so much fun when you're gone. You just, you know, you should go all the time, huh? No, I'm certainly being really silly in saying that. No, but it does seem like it's been something else. Us girls here, you know. Oh. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God. Oh, Lord, we thank You that we can worship You and give You our hearts. Oh, God, that we can turn all things over to You, Lord. And God, You know right now that we need You, God. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd help this message, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd be here, Lord, to move, oh, Lord, in our hearts. And, oh, Lord, to anoint and to give, oh, Lord, what we have need of, Lord, as individuals. For You know all things, Lord. God, we just come to You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we're asking, oh, Lord, for Your help in all these details, all these mechanical things, too, that we need You with, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us now in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, oh, God, we may be small in number, but, Lord, You are with us. Oh, God, here we are. We need You, Lord. And we ask that You be here, oh, God, that You be with my mouth. You'd use me, Lord, and oh God, that You would move in a special way here tonight. Oh God, we do praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, maybe not. Sam usually does this. How do I turn it on? That's okay. Yeah, there should be a light, shouldn't there? Well, it's plugged in. That says off, and that says power right here, but it looks like it's okay. Okay. All right. Hopefully that gets us going here. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Got a signal here. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Psalms 84 tonight. And we're going to call this, How Amiable Are Thy Tabernacles, O Lord. How amiable are thy tabernacles. And you know, we have such a privilege here. We have Thanksgiving coming tomorrow. And I'm so thankful that we can give thanks to the Lord. I know to so many people this Thanksgiving has become more of a turkey day or just a harvest festival or something else, in anything to take away from the true good meaning that it has. But in our hearts, I know that we could give thanks to the Lord. And you know, if we could only learn to praise the Lord from morning to noon to night, you know, if that praises, his praises could continually welled up in our hearts, and we could always, you know, have our hearts full of it. As I said about worship, there's much in worship, and the Lord does intervene in mighty ways when we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. But if we could just learn, oh yes, to give everything over to the Lord and trust him. You know, he does miracles. He's done amazing things for me, too. If I just look back and, you know, if I'm fighting through something, I'll have to remember how he helped me in the past. You know, just when I was going through that gallbladder thing or something, and how the Lord was teaching me to put my faith and trust in him, and how he began to take it away, you know. And I learned how to rebuke those symptoms and trust the Lord, and sure enough, he did a work and he healed me. Praise the Lord. But there's so much as individuals that we just need to give to the Lord. You know, we make it too hard a lot of times, and instead of letting him fight our battles for us, we try to do it ourselves so many times. But oh, there is so much in praise and worship. And we'll go here to Psalms 84 and just see what the Lord might show us here tonight. I, again, you know, it's Thanksgiving and many things to give thanks to the Lord for. And I'm sure, you know, one thing that I so greatly appreciate is the fact that we can come to his house and worship him. I know Psalms 122 in verse 1 used to be a favorite of mine, and it still is. It's just simply, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But here we are, Psalms 84, verse 1. It says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. I'm going to stop there a minute and just talk about this a little bit here. And it talks about how amiable are thy tabernacles. In other words, how lovely, how beautiful, how delightful are thy tabernacles, thy dwelling places. In other words, the word tabernacle means dwelling places. And O Lord of hosts. Yes. And then there's that spiritual longing of the soul that comes out in the second verse. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And I believe the Lord does put that cry within his people. There's a desire. There's something. There's a need. God made us to worship him. And there's that empty spot within each and every individual until they give their hearts to the Lord. They haven't yielded it to the Lord. It's there. And it needs to be given to God. And so God has put that within us. There's a longing to feel His presence, the longing to be with Him, the longing to worship Him, and oh yes, to see His face and to be with Him and all of that. It's deep within God's people, those longings of the soul. I'll tell you what, the psalmist in Psalms 42 talked about that just a little bit. Oh yes, just to cover it slightly here. Well, familiar scripture. First verse of Psalms 42, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I believe that's what the Lord has put deep within us, that longing, that thirsting for Him. And of course, you know, one of the Beatitudes talks about that hunger and thirst for righteousness, with a promise that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But God put that within us, that longing for God, that longing's deep within the soul. You know, if people would just pay attention to what God is trying to tell them, God does talk. It's a still, small voice. He talks to us, and we could just learn to listen. You know, oh my, we'd be spared so much. We'd have so much more direction. And I know He talks. I've talked to different people who've shared their testimonies with me. And I just recalling just a few of them, you know. But I know Brother Tim, for example, I remember, you know, before he really knew the Lord, he was actually in a bar and he was going to drink. He had a drink right in front of him, and all at once he just heard the Lord say to him in that still small voice, "Go home and put down that drink." And you praise the Lord, he did. He did. And the next day, this happened to be Sunday, and he said, "I'm going to go find a church." And God began to deal with him. And I know Leah was telling me, too, how God began to get a hold of her dad, who was an alcoholic. And, you know, all at once, you know, neither her dad or her mother knew him, knew the Lord at that point. And all at once, He just heard something that he better put down that drink again, that sort of thing, and that he better go look up the Ten Commandments. And, you know, Leah was telling me, you know, that, you know, he went home and, you know, her mother just said, "Well, I know there's some place. And somehow she managed to dig them out. But God began to change him. You know, he's working on that heart. And you know, as I talk to people, I realize, very often, God speaks directly to people. He speaks to their heart. They're only listening. I'm sure he gets ignored. I know my own grandfather. He was just a brand new Christian in the Lord. He just barely knew the Lord. He's still smoking. As he was walking down the street, as the story is, he heard the Lord say to him, "Put up that cigarette and stomp it out." And you know, praise the Lord, he did that. And God delivered him from that addiction. God took it away. Praise the Lord. I know our God is so able. And he speaks to our heart. He speaks to our soul. If we could just listen, if we could just hear him. But there, he has put that longing within us. "My soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Oh, if people could only realize what they really desire deep within is the Lord Jesus. I know so many people try to fill that empty void in their life with other things, maybe another religion, another God, you know, things of the flesh, pleasures of this world, and all this and that, thinking that maybe that will lift that spot, you know, take away that void. But no, God has reserved it unto himself. He made us to worship him. Praise the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so there's that cry that comes from the innermost being. It says again in verse 3, "The sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altar is, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." And it just seems like, you know, the psalmist is marveling here. Just, you know, the sparrow has a spot. And it seemed like the swallow had found a nest for herself. And it seems like she might have built her nest among the altars. And, you know, it's just, they found a spot, you know. There was that drawing, perhaps even for the creatures. And verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Of course, the tabernacle of old represented the presence of the Lord. You know, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where they would go in, you know, behind, or once a year the high priest would minister behind that curtain that kept that highest of high place away from the common court, another sanctuary. And you know, it represented God's presence, and you know how special when they would worship him, the presence of the Lord would come down. They would see it in different forms. It would come down and be there among them. And there was no doubt, you know, that God was with them. And I know, again, we need that place where we can be in God's presence, where we can feel his presence. And again, as it says in Psalms 22, he inhabits the praises of his people. There's just something that happens when we praise the Lord with our whole being, with all our heart. God dwells there. We need that place in his presence. And many times, down on your knees, you know, crying out to the living God, that's where you find him. Yes, that's where he begins to fill that void that's in the heart, the emptiness and all. And oh, there's nothing like that. There's no greater joy than feeling the Lord and worshiping him. And, you know, knowing that, you know, he's hearing you. And, you know, your heart is right with him. And there's nothing between you and the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, to be in the presence of the Lord. Yes, the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. No, there's no place like that. Praise the Lord. And he continues here in verse 5 here of Psalms 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Okay, I will pause here. I always thought when we talked about Baca, I just thought, well, there must have been, you know, a wonderful well, you know, a very vibrant well, maybe a very well-known well, and you know, a very place of, you know, fertile soil and beautiful crops and everything else. I just kind of thought that. But when I looked that word up, I find that that's not the meaning at all. The word Baca actually means to be sparsely watered. It's more implying a place where it's deserty. And I just really marveled that, you know, that wasn't my expectation, that it meant to be sparsely watered. But then I put these two verses together, and it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Well, I'll tell you what. Oh boy, a well representing the living waters. Those waters that flow from our living God. And here it is, the man, the woman, the child of God whose strength is in God, who, passing through the valley of Baca, what does this individual do? This place that's barren, this place that's lacking in water, this place that isn't very green, it's barren, it's a desert. But he make it a well. And then it blossoms, it flourishes. The blessings of the Lord. It says the rain also filleth the pools. And so something begins to happen. Faith begins to work. But you know, here is this individual who sees this place that hasn't been nourished. It's barren. It's unfruitful. But yet there's something in the heart. Oh, yes. That begins to work. And I couldn't help but think, you know, the Lord puts it within us to go and teach the gospel to every creature. And that was the Lord's last assignment, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I couldn't help but think, you know, in the spiritual sense, how it is, there's places that spiritually are barren. They haven't known the living God. They might be seeking, they might be searching, but yet there's something that cries out in the soul. And I was thinking of the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 14, where it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, the wonderful gospel, the good news, you know. I just couldn't help but think it. There was a young man that was working on the furnace there that was installed over at Faith House, and another man with him, they had wanted to be paid before they left, and so I had a check and wrote it out and all that kind of thing. But sometimes you could just see this hunger in people's faces. You know, you could just see it at times. And this man, he's young. You know, he obviously didn't have his arm had been cut off at the elbow for whatever reason, but yet he managed to use that part of his arm rather amazingly, you know. And just before he left, you know, I just gave him a track and extended an invitation to him, and he lives a distance away, but he just looked like he was going to consider it. I've seen so many people, that hunger that I see in faces. And I had other, individuals that have done work for us one way or the other. And many times I've had opportunities to talk with them. And just sometimes it comes out. And, sometimes that face is almost, you can see it minutes afterwards, and you see that hunger, that need, realizing that there's an individual who's going to stand before the living God. He's going to have to give an account of his life one day. I'll tell you what, how there's so much to do if we could just go out there and preach the gospel as the Lord has commissioned us. Oh, yes, it touches me. How shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach, or they preach, it says, except they be sent? Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus coming forth with the glorious gospel, bringing light to this world that was in great darkness, that didn't know the living God, that didn't know what it was like to have that well of living water springing up within. Oh, yes, he came, yes, to give us life. He came to give us abundant life in the Lord Jesus. And what a blessing it is, and it's a wonder. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring the gospel that bring the good news. Oh yes, the gospel of peace that minister. Oh my, what an opportunity we have to bring that gospel to this world that is so lost and so without God. And what a need there is in this old world. Oh yes, that's, you know, gone so astray and needs hope. Yes, and that verse is also found in Isaiah 52. And it, because it elaborates just a little bit more, I just wouldn't mind going there for a minute. You know, it's talking in chapter 52 of Isaiah, it's talking about the church putting on their beautiful garments. And the change, it's time to shake off the dust. It's time to leave off mourning. It's time to be loosed from the bands of thy neck, it tells us, O captive daughter of Zion. And then God said that they had sold themselves for naught in the third verse. And ye shall be redeemed without money. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus came to purchase us. Oh yes, the follies of sin had sold them into captivity and bondage. They become slaves to sin and even to the enemy because they did not obey the Lord and serve him with all the heart. It says, verse 4, for thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, for nothing. Let their rule over them make them to howl. Oh yes, they were in bondage. They were oppressed. They were, oh yes, in even danger, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. And besides the oppression and the chains of sin and everything else that was holding them in captivity, the Lord was blasphemed. His name was blasphemed. Oh, yes. As it is today, how God is so disregarded and so disrespected and so despised and, you know, hated even. But the Lord was going to bring hope to a people that were in great sin, in great bondage. And, oh, those individuals wouldn't have to sit in the dust anymore and mourn. Oh, yes, it says in verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, what a beautiful day. When it goes on to tell us how God redeemed Jerusalem, how God redeemed his people, how the Lord made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So it tells us in verse 11, oh yes, the Lord putting on flesh, our God putting on flesh to come to this world to take our sins, oh yes, to take our place on the cross of Calvary, so he can reconcile ourselves unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. But the wonderful news of the gospel, the glorious news that he has brought forth to his people. And so it is back here in Psalms 84. I just marvel. There's a people. The Lord talks to a heart. And, you know, a lot of people, if you're walking through a desert, they wouldn't think of looking for water. You know, they wouldn't think of, you know, making a well there. But the Lord touches the heart. And there's a cause. There's a need. There's something that's going on. Oh, yes. It says, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Oh yes, that barren place, that place without water, hardly at all, yet going there to bring forth the living water, the good news, the gospel, the glorious gospel to those that have never heard it. And the Lord working with them, the rain also filleth the pools. Oh yes, can you imagine that all at once? Oh yes, there's green grass, there's flowers, there's fruit, you know, because something happens. The blessings of the Lord begin to fall on lives and begin to change individuals, to give them hope, to give them courage, to give them strength, to make them new creatures in Christ. Oh yes, the Lord watering that which was not watered before, and even filling the pools. Verse 7 says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh, I tell you what. One reason we come to church is to gain strength, to renew our strength. Oh, yes, to put our mind upon the things of the Lord. And you know, to humble ourselves in such a way that we can draw nigh to God in a greater depth than ever. And you know, you go from strength to strength. You know, hopefully, by the grace of God, we're going to be stronger. If there's a next year, we're going to be spiritually stronger than we are right now, because we're going to continue to allow the Lord, His Word, to nourish our hearts and our souls, to feed us with that manna from on high, so that our strength can increase in God. And we know, as it tells us in Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there's a great secret to that. When you get down on your knees and cry out, oh, the Lord is there. Yes, He's there in a new and greater way. And somehow those trials, those tests, those low spots bring us closer to the Lord if we could just continue to reach out. Oh no, some people would retreat and run the other way. Hey, this is too hard. I can't do this any longer. But I'll tell you what, if we'll dig deep, oh yes, if we'll let our roots go deep down and oh, begin to dig in and beseech the Lord and claim His promises and go forward, I'll tell you what, that strength is going to grow in Him. It's going to grow in Him. And it says, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh, I tell you what, you can't get to heaven without knowing God. Oh yes, Jesus is that door. He is the way to God, and you're not going to get to heaven and live with Him and reign with Him unless you're right with the Lord, unless you've made contact with the Lord, thus you know you had that moment with God. So every one of them in Zion, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, appeareth before God. And I thank God, we just, you know, we need that continual strengthening. We need that continual pouring out of the Spirit of God in our lives. We need that continual renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, we think of that parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25. Those 10 virgins, and they all were watching, they were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. And it was a call that was going to come forth, go ye out to meet him. And, you know, it didn't happen quite right at the moment that perhaps they anticipated. And there was a pause, so, you know, they talked about they all slumbered and slept. They were resting, they were waiting. And all at once, they were aroused. That call came forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And so, yes, they shook themselves. And then they looked at their lamps. And sadly, half of them had no more oil in their lamps. They had no more oil. Happily, the other five had brought extra oil, and they could pour into their lamps and it be rekindled there. But those five that didn't have any oil in their lamps, oh, there wasn't too much that they could do other than to go to the store and try to buy more. But I'll tell you what, they didn't have time for that. It was too late for that at that moment. Oh, yes, the bridegroom had cometh. It was time to go in and meet him. And I'll tell you what, while they were going to get more oil, the other five went in, didn't they? They went in. And the scripture tells us in Matthew 25, that door was shut. That door was shut. And no more could anyone enter into it. It was shut. Those other five came. Now they had oil. But it was too late. It was too late. That door was shut. It could not be opened. And they were rejected. They were rejected from that occasion. And so it is, we need to have our lamps filled with the Holy Ghost. We need that anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need that refill every day, I think. You know, we need to be down on our knees every day. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be praising Him and worshiping. We need to be in His Word. Our minds need to be stayed upon the Lord. Because that oil, we don't want it to go dry. We don't want it to disappear so that we don't have any. That moment when Jesus comes back, we've got to be waiting. We've got to be watching. We've got to be prepared. He's going to come quickly. His reward is with Him. And I'll tell you what. Oh, there's not going to be any moment to compare to that. But constantly, I believe, it needs to be on our hearts. The bridegroom is going to come. Our Lord is coming back to this world. You know, we've got to be ready. We've got to be in that place where we could be as that servant who's been waiting for his Lord to come. He's been occupying. He's been doing his Father's will, his Master's will, so that, you know, there's no hesitation. Well, when that knock comes on the door and it's time, he gladly opens up because he has nothing to be ashamed of. He's been working for his Master. He's been doing his will. You know, there's no regret. There's no sorrow on that part. In other words, his lamp is burning brightly. He's ready. He's prepared. So it must be with us. We need, oh yes, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's always more, more, more that we can glean from the words of life, oh, from the ways of God. There's always more. But God's people go from strength to strength, and every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh, yes, He's expecting us. He's waiting for us. He's welcoming us. You know, there's nothing too hard for Him, nothing too impossible. He doesn't mind, you know. He sees our hearts. He knows our trials. He knows our tears. But for sure, we've got to be in that place where our life is right in His sight. And that oil of the Holy Ghost is alive within our very being, that we're filled with that Holy Ghost. You know, that burning should glow on our faces so that these people that are out there, they don't know God. You know, look at, I don't know what that feels like. I thank God he saved me when I was really quite young. You know, but even so, yes, I guess I do recall, you know, even then, you know, just how different things felt. But yet, oh my, to be without hope, to be without God, to just be walking around in a daze and seeking and searching and you know, not knowing who to trust or where to go. Oh my, what a situation. What a situation. Oh God, if we could just help somebody to see the light. If there just be somebody, you know, just some of those faces, you know, you just, you say what you can at the moment, you know, and you know, then sometimes I wonder, am I going to see that person again? And I hope so. I hope someday, if not on this earth, before the throne of God. But oh, praise the Lord, we go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. It says in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For verse 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, yes. How wonderful it is to be in the presence of the Lord. And thank God, you know, we don't have to have a fancy edifice to go worship the Lord. We, you know, don't have to be great in numbers. You know, the early church obviously met in homes for the most part. It seems like they had house meetings. And, you know, they might have been full at times. And maybe it was just, you know, two, three. Certain other times. Even just one sometimes. But we know that where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, there he is in the midst. Oh, yes, it doesn't take thousands of people to bring down the presence of the Lord. It doesn't take that. No, it takes people that cry out from the depths. Oh, that have great longings within the soul for the living God, that want to be fed, that have that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that desperate cry that comes out, oh, Lord Jesus, we need you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thinking of Psalms 111 for the moment. It says in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Oh, there's something we can pour out of your whole heart. You know, it's not just on the surface. Oh, yes, when those songs of Zion are sang, when they are sung with all our hearts, you know, there's something about it. You know, it ministers. It begins to change us. You know, as we meditate upon the Lord and, you know, his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness toward us, Word. You know, the whole heart, you know, just pouring out of self unto the living God. And praise the Lord, you know. I know we can do it anywhere. I know God hears us in our car when we're all alone. I know he hears us in our bed, or, you know, just wherever all we happen to be when we cry with all the heart. But, oh, there's something special about being in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And I'll tell you what, you know, being as it is, and as we see the day approaching, I think we better highly regard this place as long as we have it. You know, it could happen that we will not be allowed to assemble together. It could happen that we could completely be on our own. And, you know, just us and the Lord, you know, just us as individuals, as there with the Lord, you know. But how beautiful it is when we can gather together. And as it tells us in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, yeah, we see, you know, what's happening in this world. Oh, yes, we are living in a divided country right now, a divided United States. I was thankful that Hillary Clinton did not become our elected president, but I'll tell you what, we are in a great struggle as I can see it. You know, I think we better pray for Mr. Trump. I think we better pray for him mightily, because he's going to need a strength that doesn't come from himself. He may think he's done this and that on his own in the past and, you know, become what he became what he is, you know. I don't know if he thinks he did it with his own strength or not, but possibly he does, you know. But I know one thing. Oh, boy, he's not going to get anywhere unless he's going to need the living God to help him. And I'll tell you what, we don't want to forsake this place. If we have this opportunity and this privilege, And the way to get here, the door is opened. Oh my, we don't want to forsake it. You know, these are wonderful times when we can be together and we can worship the Lord together. We can sing his praises, you know. We can cry out. We can turn to his word. We can have fellowship one with another. It's good things, you know, and surely the Lord will come down and meet our needs. Oh yes, in this place. Here it is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Yes, it's getting closer and it's getting closer. And yes, the psalmist wrote back here in Psalms 84, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Oh, it was a capital day. You know, it seems like people's priorities are sometimes a little bit off. You know, there's this occasion, you know, maybe it's a party event, you know, ball game, something on television, all these things that lure people. And, you know, the compromising that people do, you know, this place should be a place of great joy to our hearts. You know, the psalmist said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. It was, you know, a capital day, a special day when we could assemble together, be in one mind, in one accord, and give our hearts to the Lord. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, yes, there's people with much prosperity. In fact, the 73rd Psalm, you know, Asaph he's telling his story. He's telling his story. He's telling, oh, God is surely good to Israel and those that are of a clean heart. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He writes, but he talks about how his feet were almost gone. His steps were well nigh slipped. He was, you know, looking at things just a little bit wrong. He was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. And just thinking, oh, their strength is firm. There's no bands in their death. They're not in trouble like other men. They're not plagued, they've got this pride, but and it covers them as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Oh, their eyes stand out with fatness, he wrote, and, you know, they have more than heart could wish. Anything they want, they can have. But yet, they were corrupt, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, oh yes, and they even set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth, oh boy, even to despise and dishonor God. And it talks about how, therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. In other words, they're taking advantage of people and wringing them out, you know, just like we were a garment, and taking advantage of them for their own benefit and good. And then they say in their heart, how doth God know? Oh, that haughty, arrogant spirit. And is there knowledge in the Most High? Oh, just questioning God and not wanting to give him any honor or glory or acknowledging him as Lord. But then, oh, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And Asaph is writing, verily, I cleanse my heart in vain and wash my heart, my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And sometimes, yes, as Christians, it's not the easy road, is it? You know, we are to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. You know, we know that wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's the way it is. But so many people prefer to take the easy route. And Asaph was looking at these people that just seemed to flourish in their ways and be prosperous, and out of trouble, and yet, you know, he was going through problems. He had needs. You know, there were painful things in his life. and he couldn't quite understand it, and he was, oh, tossed and turned. But praise the Lord, something began to change. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, that understood I their end. Oh boy, you get in God's presence, that sanctuary, the place where God is, and things start to look altogether different. You know, how many times is it, you know, that, you know, things begin to overwhelm us, and we might even despair, and we might, oh my, just feel utterly helpless. But I'll tell you what, you get into the presence of the Lord, you get down on your knees, you get into that place, and you begin to turn things over to the Lord, you begin to ask Him for faith. And I tell you what, snap, 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 those things begin to turn around, and all at once you can see, oh, surely thou didst set them in slippery places, as Aesop wrote. Thou cast them down into destruction. You begin to see their bitter end, their bitter end. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be good to meet an angry God if you've not met Him, if you've not been cleansed, if you don't have His righteousness, if you've not been forgiven your sins, if you're standing there in front of Him with your sins, with your past, and all of those things unforgiven. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a moment of terror. Oh, it says in verse 20, as a dream when one waketh, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And thus Aesop said, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Began to feel, oh Lord, how could I have even have felt that? How could I have been envious of the prosperous people, of the prominent people, of the wealthy people, you know, the rich, and all of those things? How could I have been just, oh, so foolish? Ever feel like that? You know, and then he realized, verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me with thy right hand, O Lord, keeping us. He knows those that are His. Praise the Lord, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows how to holden us up, how to keep us, how to bring us to that place. And he's realizing in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh, my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. They're going to perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Oh, praise the Lord. We're not going to be ashamed if our trust, our hope, our life is in Christ. We're not going to be ashamed at His coming if we've been fruitful individuals and working for Him, if we allow that Holy Ghost to be awake in us, to be strong in us, to be a light to this world that's in dire, desperate need of salvation. So it is, as Psalms 84 ends, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Look at that. Speaking of His abundant blessings and love for His children, His desire to help us and to give us good things that please Him. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Oh yes, and you know, just thinking of that first psalm here, just for a moment, it just came to me, and you know, Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's how to be fruitful in the Lord. Oh, yes, to have that love, you know, not to walk in the way, the counsel of the ungodly, nor to sit in their seat. But instead, our delight is in the law of the Lord. Yes, we're not going to be popular. They're not going to understand us. But we have to realize that we're pleasing God. What we need to do is please the Lord. It's not going to matter how pleasing we were to other individuals when we stand before Him. All that's going to matter, did we please Him? Did we do His will? Are we filled with the Holy Ghost? You know, has His blood cleansed us from all unrighteousness? But all His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. All the Scripture tells us in the Psalm, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, that, oh, those wonderful, fruitful wells. Oh, yes, those living waters that bringeth forth His fruit in His seasons. Yes, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. That's a description of the godly. But then, verse 4 says, ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be worth everything when we see Jesus. We can just see Him with a clean heart, a pure spirit, oh, a conscience void of offense, nothing offending the living God in our living and in our life. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is going to be able to stand before the Lord without any condemnation, to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, yes, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Oh, the Lord, you know, He blesses to overwhelming. You know, we maybe can give back a little bit, you know, for good deeds done, you know, from time to time. But the Lord, His blessings are abundant. They're, you know, they're beyond what is expected. He just is so gracious beyond description. But we can praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we could gather here this evening. Oh, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Oh, that longing in the soul, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, yes, it wells up within us, that need, and how beautiful it is when we can come together, when we can praise the Lord, that little place. And sometimes it isn't a gathering of people. Sometimes that's not always possible. But, you know, it's a sanctuary wherever the Lord is, wherever His presence is. That's a sanctuary. That's a place of refuge. That's a place where the Lord meets our needs when we gather together, or we gather even individually. That little sanctuary, that place where we meet God. And His presence comes down to fill the voids in our life, the empty spots, oh, to meet the needs that need to be met. Because, yes, we all have needs as human individuals, but we serve a God who overflows us with blessings, with help. Oh, yes. And it certainly is a time to be thankful to Him. Oh, yes, a time to, you know, show Him from the depths of our heart His wonders, His graciousness, His wonderful mercies to us, and, you know, His abundance in so many ways. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. Oh, yes, the joyful sound. when we've heard the voice of the living God speak to our hearts. Talk to us. Help us. Oh, yes, even to change and even to mend our ways, even to get right. All those things. Again, as it says in Psalms 111, says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Oh yes, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. Oh, that's the goodness of the Lord to his people. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Oh, yes, if we can just be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Oh, yes, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And that promise that his leaf shall not wither. Oh, and that he be fruitful. And oh, yes, the Lord would pour out his blessings and most of all, give us eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy goodness, thy blessings, thy mercy toward us, Lord. Oh, God, that we can lift up our hands and cry out to you, Lord. Oh, God, that we can cry out to you with all our hearts and all our soul and all our might. Oh, Lord God, for thou art a God that hast had compassion on us. Oh, God, you are a God of mercy, loving kindness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we could gather here tonight. Oh, Lord, and that you've been with us, Lord. And oh, God, that we can feel thy presence, Lord, and be touched by you, Lord. I pray that you give us that strength that we need, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, God, we would appear before thee, Lord. Oh, God, that we would know thee, Lord. Oh, God, that we would be cleansed. And, oh, Lord, that you would give us oil in our lamps. Oh, God, that we would charge us, Lord, that you'd fill us. Oh, God, that you'd anoint us, that you'd use us and help us, Lord, to be a light. Oh, Lord, that well of living water that springs up unto life everlasting. Help us to be that well, Lord God. Oh, God, oh, God, a light to this world. Oh, God, that is in such darkness. Oh, Lord, we love you. Ask that you work with us. Oh, Lord, that you keep everyone safe as they go home. And, Lord, I pray that you pour out of your blessings, Lord. Oh, God, that you work within us, Lord. Oh, God, that you change us and mold us and shape us and make us what we ought to be in thee. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I guess we could sing maybe, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.